This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. The founding fathers, for all their wisdom, failed miserably to prepare for the invention of the smartphone, and so we are on our own as to how to enforce the protections against unreasonable search and seizure when it comes to devices that use fingerprints and face recognition and maybe eventually retinal scans. Let's talk with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems and Aristapoint Employee Benefit Consultants. Tell us about this case. This is apparently the first case where investigators required someone to basically point their phone at their face.
Well, that's exactly right. It involved an FBI investigation of a child pornography suspect. The FBI, you know, did everything by the book. They obtained a warrant, and the warrant seems to have been fine. And they went to this individual, and they wanted access to his iPhone, which was locked. And they required the suspect to place his face in front of the iPhone, which instantly opened it. And they found information inside it that they used in prosecuting him.
Now, suppose he had grimaced or made an odd face in such a way as to baffle the iPhone.
That's a good question. I mean, you know, can you beat that if you don't want it to unlock when you're in front of it? I don't know. They would probably try to compel you to look at it with a normal face. You know, it reminds me of cases where people have been required to stand in a lineup and even to wear a particular clothing, like get in this lineup and put on this black jacket. And the Supreme Court has held that that does not violate the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination. So here what we're seeing now is you've got Fourth Amendment law protecting you against unreasonable search and seizure, which is why they had to have a warrant. But that hasn't been enough to stop police departments from forcing people to turn over, you know, to use their fingerprints to unlock phones, or now their faces to unlock a phone. So the civil libertarians are turning to the Fifth Amendment, which protects us against self-incrimination, as a new argument to block the police from using these tactics.
Right. So how far is that likely to get, arguing that being forced to show your face is a form of self-incrimination? As you point out, how would that be different than a lineup?
Yeah, I don't think it is different. I don't think that our line of argument is going to work, precisely as you say, because there's a lot of precedent that people can be required to turn over handwriting, blood sample, a voice sample, stand in a lineup. The reason that it doesn't implicate the Fifth Amendment, I don't think, is that the suspect in the case where you're required to provide a fingerprint or put your face in front of the phone isn't being required to disclose any knowledge he might have or to speak to his guilt or potential guilt. Mm-hmm. And that's what protection against self-incrimination really means. It's interesting, though, that the courts over the years have really had to split some hairs here. For example, They've held that you can't force someone to turn over the combination to a safe, but you can require them to turn over a key in their possession, which would unlock the safe.
That's weird.
It's because I guess the theory is if you are required to turn over the combination, it suggests you have knowledge. Uh-huh. You know the safe, you have the combination, you can unlock it. Whereas if you just happen to have the key, it just means you have the key. It doesn't incriminate you that you have the key.
One thing that came out as a result of this story is how sophisticated Apple's face recognition is. When this was invented, my fear was that you'd see repeats of the first scene of the Da Vinci Code. I don't know if you read that, but, you know, there was a security lock in the Vatican was triggered by a retinal scan, right? So The bad guy gets the eyeball of a security guard and uses it, you see.
I remember.
Yeah, okay. So apparently the iPhone has protection against using dead faces to open the iPhone?
Yeah, that's what I've read as well, that a dead face would not work. On the other hand, a dead person's fingerprints will work, apparently. But, you know, frankly, all of this may become mooted by the fact that the vaunted unbreakability of iPhones, that you can't crack the codes, that's apparently now no longer the case. There are apparently two companies providing services this year that claim they can crack iPhone's code protection. So in the case that we were just talking about involving the suspected child pornographer, they weren't actually able to get all the information they wanted from the phone using Face ID. They couldn't get all the data they wanted because they didn't have the passcode. And apparently some of the data required a passcode, not just the Face ID. Then the law enforcement officers found out that there are two companies selling this technology that allows you to break into a cell phone without a code. So as I say, you know, I always say, you know, you build a wall and the other guys build a higher ladder.
Yeah, right. Another reminder that if you don't want it disclosed, don't load it into the iPhone. Write it down on paper and put it into a safe with a combination lock because they can't make you give the combination. Do I have that right?
There you go. All These right. people just don't plan ahead enough.
That's it. Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems and Arista Group Employee Benefit Consultants. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Dave.